Friends, you're listening to Irish Radio Network USA, and I want to welcome the Comptroller of the State of New York, Thomas P. DiNapoli, and he is the 54th Comptroller of New York, and that's... Can I call you Tom?
Please, Adrian. I would expect nothing less. So thank you. Thank you.
Yeah, we could stumble over that. You know, you bear glad tidings, indeed, as we, you know, with this breaking announcement of a huge investment in Northern Ireland. And maybe you'll... You might tell us about it.
Be happy to. One of my responsibilities as controller is to be trustee of the New York Common Retirement Fund, which is the investment fund that pays for the pensions, the retirement benefits for our state workforce and our municipal workers outside of New York City. And we are always looking for great investment opportunities. And I had the chance, as you know, a number of years ago, to visit the north of Ireland, and the biggest takeaway I had from that experience was that there are great opportunities now that the troubles have been settling down and the opportunity for a focus on economic development. And I very much wanted us to be positioned to take advantage of the opportunities there. So, you know, of course, we've gone through this difficult time with the global financial crisis and it's taken a while for the markets to recover. But we had set up what we called an Emerging Europe Fund, where we had a goal of an investment as part of that fund, the $100 million fund, but we wanted part of that money to be able to go to the north of Ireland, to really be a partner with the transformation that's happening there. So the announcement we had, and it took perhaps a little longer than I would have liked, but, you know, we're fiduciaries. We have to have be sure that we have confidence it's a good investment decision. But we announced, as you mentioned, Adrian, a $15 million investment of our pension fund dollars directed to the north of Ireland. We work with a firm that manages our money, 57 Stars, and they found a very good partner for us on the ground in the north of Ireland with Crescent Capital, which is a Belfast-based venture capital fund manager right there in Northern Ireland. So they are going to be on the ground looking for these great investment opportunities, and I certainly hope this won't be the last of our investment, but $15 million, given the financial climate and the fact, frankly, that the North has been waiting for investment opportunities like this to come their way, it certainly is a positive news for our pension fund. I'm confident we're going to make money on this
right.
Investment, and it's good news for the people in the North.
Well, we know that nobody is more pleased than our friend, the current mayor of Lord Mayor of Belfast, Máirtín Ó-Maolaodha, who is indeed he and for that matter, all sides have something to agree on and to celebrate. 15 million is nothing to sneeze at in an economy that is really struggling and has been. But I would like also to say that, you know, and you're now over the past, you're coming up to re-election. Did anybody tell you?
They keep reminding me. I keep trying to block it out. Yeah.
Now, despite the very shaky economy, during your period as Comptroller of the State, and of course for a decade or more before that, the goal is very high in terms of benefit payments that you know are funded by investment returns. There isn't much room there to get it wrong. It's a very tricky situation, but also one that has a very high bar has been set in New York State.
Yeah, and you're right, because you know when you get it wrong, you don't want to jeopardize the retirement benefits for the pensioners. But what that means is that the cost goes up, and that translates it to a higher charge to local governments, and that hits local taxpayers. So, you know, the good news is obviously, like all investors, we had a very tough year in 08 and 09, but we've had positive years of return since then. In fact, when we last valued our fund, we value the fund March 31st every year. So we're a few weeks away, you know, obviously from this year. But last year, we had over a 10% positive return. That's higher than our goal. And I'm confident, you know, I know the markets have been a little jittery lately with some of the international situations, but I'm confident we're going to have another good year this year. We'll see the numbers on March 31st. I hope some of the luck of the Irish with St. Patrick's Day continues the markets to be strong through the end of the month. And you know what, Adrian, last year we were actually able to reduce the rate we charge our government employers. That translated into a savings then. You know, many pension funds in other parts of the country, you read about, they don't have enough money to pay benefits. Their costs keep going up. Well, in New York, we actually have started to reduce the costs and still have secure retirement benefits for our retirees. We have the best funded of all the big state plans in the country, and that's because we have a strong sense of fiscal discipline about honoring our commitments to keep the fund well-funded. And we do have a smart investment team, and the Northern Ireland investment being an example of being cutting edge and creative and looking for new opportunities to maximize the return to our fund.
Now, you manage and indeed are responsible for the state's more than $160 billion pension fund. In addition, you oversee the New York State local retirement system, you know, New York State and city budgets, it's your decision to approve, billions in state contracts and spending and whatever. Just to clarify, you are New York State Comptroller. Now, does part of your, job, as it were, to examine New York City as part of New York State and the books in New York City?
Well, yes. I mean, New York City is the key to the success and strength of New York State. And, of course, I'm sure some of your listeners remember what happened in the 1970s where New York City almost went into bankruptcy. A legacy of that time is, you know, of course, there was the Financial Control Board that was set up, which actually still exists, and I'm a member of it. Obviously, it's not active. It monitors what goes on, but it doesn't, you know, the decisions obviously being made by the elected officials in the city, and that's the way it should be. But part of the legacy of that time is that we have an office within the state controller's office, but we have a deputy controller in our office for New York City, and the responsibility of that office, one of them, is to look at and analyze the city budget. We have no ability to approve or disapprove what the city budget contains, but we do monitor the finances. We do comment on whether or not we think the budgets that are being put together are reasonable or not being reasonable.
Right.
And we're going to update, you know, based on the new administration now, Mayor de Blasio and you know, the preliminary budget he has out there. Our folks actually right now are finalizing an analysis. What we said at the end of the Bloomberg administration is that the city certainly has been in better shape financially than they've been in for a long time budget-wise. But part of getting through those tough years, the reserves have largely been spent down, as everybody's been reading about, the city contracts, virtually all of them. I think only one has been settled. All the big ones are still outstanding. And that will have a cost impact when the labor agreements are reached. So there are some concerns in terms of you know, how will the city manage its budget moving forward, and we're certainly monitoring that carefully.
Some say that that many of the contracts particularly with unions were left in advance after. By Mayor Bloomberg, and all of these, as you say, are going to have a tremendous cost factor. But could that, change the fiscal health of New York State? And what are your predictions on that?
Well, you know, it remains to be seen how quickly they can have a resolution. There's no doubt that the contracts that have been expired for so long is a very huge bit of unfinished business. And depending on, you know, there's the issue of retroactive pay for the years that there were no increases moving forward. We know the city has had discussions about what may be called give backs or cost savings.
Right.
You know, health insurance being one area that's been a high cost area. So, you know, we need to see what the city's strategy will be and how successful the administration will be in coming up with agreements. But the budget strength, the fiscal strength of New York City is key to the fiscal strength of New York State. So, you know, we can't have any illusion. You know, I always say to people who don't live in New York City, we depend on New York City and New York. It's because it's the hub. It's where you have so much economic activity. And, of course, when the city has problems and trouble, they turn to the state, you know, for help.
Mm-hmm.
So the city having its fiscal house in order is very important for the state's fiscal house to be in order, recognizing that, you know, the city is, you know, there is an independently elected leadership with the mayor, with the city council. And the fact, though, Adrian, that there still is this control board, financial control board mechanism for the 1970s, that's really continuing partially to really look at what, you know, what the pattern will be in terms of city budgets. And if it does get out of whack or out of balance, you know, that mechanism can always be restarted. So I think it's in the city interest to keep the fiscal house in order, and certainly in the state's. But we're going to be monitoring carefully what decisions are going to be made by the new administration to achieve that ongoing budget balance.
We are reminded, of course, by listeners, particularly in the Irish community, that you're a Mineola boy. They have not actually acknowledged that you ever moved on from there.
Well, I had the great privilege to go to the Mineola Public Schools. My dad's still, he's going to be 90 next month. He's still in the house on Coventry Avenue, which is technically Albertson, but it's in the Mineola School. So I have many dear friends in Mineola I'm still in touch with that I can remember over the years going to many fun community and family events at the Irish American Society over there on Willis Avenue, which is a wonderful building, and a lot
Absolutely.
Of good times there. And you know, so that's a wonderful part of Nassau County. And
right, nobody would know better than yourself, Comptroller Tom DiNapoli, that St. Patrick's Day is and I think we're this is peculiar to the Irish. We knock a month out of it. And the number of, you know, Irish events that you show up at you know, consistently there, that keeps you busy, you know, considering that this is not just a borough. This is not Mineola. This is the entire state of New York, but you do manage to get around to quite a number of them, and we do know that you're held in high esteem.
Well, the Irish events are always great fun and great spirit, and you know, as growing up in the community I grew up in, from when I first started, you know, many of my friends had Irish heritage, and you're a wonderful people, and I always say that my Thomas P. DiNapoli, I'm Thomas Patrick for the month of March.
How about that?
The name, you know, for the month of March.
Indeed, you were, you know, going back to Mineola, the youngest, in New York State to hold public office as a trustee of the Mineola Board of Education at 18.
Yeah, I was still a senior in high school, Adrian, and it was the first year of the 18-year-old vote. And I not only registered to vote, I took out a petition and I went before the people in the community and I said I may still be in high school and I may just be a teenager, but I think I can make a difference. And I had that wonderful experience of the first public office I ever ran for. People were willing to take a chance on me, and I've always been grateful to the Mineola community for that. And that's why through the ups and downs of political life, and there are always some downs, I've always had a great deal of optimism about the difference you can make through the public process, and that comes from lessons I learned on Mineola, knocking on doors on Jerome Avenue. I'll give a shout out to I'm just family
there.
Those are the blocks I walked on, and people said, you know what, Tom, I'm going to give you a chance, and I never forgot that.
You know, getting back again to the investment in Northern Ireland, and I distinctly remember during, I think you were only in office a few months when, when you visited Northern Ireland with the great movement at the time, it was the State Department initiative to launch Invest Northern Ireland. So you actually were there kind of from the beginning, and many would feel that because of the recession, that it took a long time to get the investment in Northern Ireland that in fact was promised at that time, but it seems like it's coming around.
Well, we stuck with it. You know, there were other funds that have been talked about that frankly don't exist anymore. We took a little different tact. We said, you know, we've had an interest in the North, but Europe, there were other parts of Europe that were emerging as well. So we said,
right,
let's look at Europe more holistically. But because we have a particular interest in the North, let's do a carve out of a portion. The total fund's about $100 million. Let's do a carve out of up to $30 million that could be dedicated to the North. And you know, part of what happened is people would come with opportunities, and nothing negative about the rest of Ireland, but the North is really where you have this historic coming together, an historic opportunity. You don't want to lose the confidence of the people on the ground that in fact it's a new day, and so we wanted to take advantage of that to make money for the fund, but also to keep the progress moving. You know, one of the great people I met on my trip, and I kept in touch with, and I miss her, is Inez McCormick.
Oh boy, yes,
Inez,
indeed.
What an incredible person, and she always made the case, yes, invest here, but the investments have to be transformative. People have to feel it on the ground, because if we're going to keep the troubles away and not have a return to the violence, there has to be opportunity for all, regardless of religious background.
And the bottom line of it is that Northern Ireland is hungry for investment, and this is not.
And what an educated workforce, and a workforce that has been waiting for opportunity. So our money is going to be used by Crescent Capital to look out for great either firms that are just starting up or want to expand who are there. They're going to look at a range of businesses. They're going to look across the North. We spent time in Belfast, but you know what? I also went out to Derry. Martin McGuinness invited me to.
Absolutely.
And Derry was beautiful, and great opportunities there as well. So I'm really hoping that now that people have finally seen that we meant that we were going to find the right opportunity and a good partner on the ground there in the North, I'm looking forward to the actual announcements of the businesses that will benefit from this investment and that goal of being transformative that Inez had and Marcin and others have talked about, that we're going to fulfill that commitment and make money for our pension fund, which is what it's all about.
Bottom line is that whereas many over the decades, and particularly since the Good Friday Agreement, there were many predictions and kind of commitments that, money inevitably would be invested in Northern Ireland. Where is the money? This is not something that you are trying to find. Perhaps you just spell it out for us.
Well, one of the goals here really, and it's been hard to explain because, as you point out, this discussion's been going on for a number of years about coming up with the money. As a pension fund, we play a little different role than other government entities. So this money, as opposed to perhaps what others would do in terms of a grant or a loan, that's not what a pension fund can do. A pension fund has to have a fiduciary responsibility to make money for the benefit of the members. So we have a different threshold, which is why it took us a little longer. But as a pension fund and a strong pension fund, Adrian, we have capital. So in this time where the banks have all kinds of troubles and governments don't have the money they'd like to use for investment, a pension fund actually has investment capital. So as long as we find an investment vehicle that we can have confidence in, we have the capital to deploy. So that's why tapping into this Because don't forget, when we put this money in, other private capital will follow.
Yes.
You know, Crescent will attract other investors. And I'm hoping that other pension funds that had been considering the North, you know, and perhaps had been waiting to see who would dip their toe in the water first, they'll put, you know, New York is a big state. We're a big pension fund. We have a strong reputation. I'm hoping this sends a message that there, in fact, are investment opportunities in the North. There, in fact, are investment partners based in the North for you to work with. I'm hoping that, as we've often seen with other investments, this will multiply. This will have a multiplier effect. Other capital will follow our capital. And the goals that so many of us had when we came away from that conference in the North, that, in
yes.
fact, we'll now see the changes on the ground and the kind of expectations that Inez and others had for
right.
these opportunities, they'll come to pass.
And it's a done deal.
Yeah, it's not. The papers are signed, but, you know, we have our partner. That's why the announcement was made. We wouldn't
right.
make the announcement if it wasn't a done deal. And, you know, the next piece of it will be Crescent will deploy the capital to specific businesses. And as part of the announcement, they made very clear they're open for business. They want to hear from the business opportunities there in the North, you know, from Belfast to Derry and all points in between. And I appreciate being on your show to spread the word. Anybody that has a business opportunity there in the North, be in touch with Crescent Capital and see if we could make a partnership.
It's great news, and we're delighted indeed to be able to spread that news. And also, we know that during the St. Patrick's Month, we'll see you popping up. And indeed, look, don't forget where you came from, because the people of Mineola will remind you.
That's right. The good people of Mineola, absolutely. Well, Adrian, I wish you a wonderful St. Patrick's Month, and to all your listeners as well. And the warmth of the Irish will have a shake off this terrible winter we've had.
Yeah. Okay, Tom. Comptroller Thomas P. DiNapoli, Comptroller of the State of New York. Thanks for your time.
Thank you, Adrian.
And friends, you're listening to Irish Radio Network, USA.